Welcome back, friends, to another edition of the Amber May Show. Joining me is Mary O'Neill. She is the CEO of America's Future. She's the sister of General Michael Flynn. And we are going to be talking about what America's Future is doing to prepare you and I and everyone in America to stop the child trafficking that's going on. We focused heavily last week on families that were victimized by child trafficking through CPS. And now Jim Caviezel's movie is coming out about the other side of human trafficking, child trafficking. So we're going to talk to Mary O'Neill and find out how we can combat that right here in the United States. Please like, share, and subscribe. And please look at all our show sponsors. They are in the links below. They're on the website at theambermayshow.com. So please check that out. Well, coming up right now is Mary O'Neill. Well, I told you I have Mary O'Neill. She is General Michael Flynn's sister joining us from the America Future. So welcome to the program. So excited to have you here.
Thank you so much, Amber. It's a pleasure, my honor to be here. Really, I love it.
I just had so much fun with you the last time. I feel like we're two gal pals since you came on last time. And we have similar hearts for kids, and America's Future is up to so much stuff. I mean, I keep track of what you guys are doing on Telegram, and I commend you guys for that. So thank you for all the work that you guys are doing at America's Future.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's very important to me personally, because I'm a Flynn, and what they've done to my brother and the persecution and you know, and I, by the way, was in the Catholic Church working, and I saw, and I was a basic whistleblower for that, and found I couldn't do any more work. So when he asked me to come and do this, I was like, wow, this is what God is doing with me. He's gonna let me lead an organization that's 77 years old this year, and one of the first nonprofits to do good work, to get into where we need to be, and not only the amicus briefs, the filing in the courts that are unconstitutional decisions they've made, hurting people on the First Amendment, Second Amendment, and all these cases that we've been filing amicuses on are very, very important. But now's the time to, you know, educate and train the public on child exploitation and trafficking and anything that has to do with an abuse of a child. And we gotta. This is where we're going to put our energy right now. So
it's no coincidence when God does stuff. Okay. So I'm not sure if you know about this film on Netflix, but if not, I would love you to watch it. Sure. It's called Take Care of Maya. It's
yes,
a documentary.
I know. I just saw it. I just had somebody send it to me. And it's amazing. That is so, I mean, you know, the child, CPS and all the, you know, it's just incredible. I've been in that for quite a long time with my own experience with my grandchildren being taken. And so those kinds of things, I want more of that. You know, we want to really encourage more films that tell the reality of what everybody's going through. I mean, these regular people are going through this. You know, before my brother's persecution, I was going through that with my own middle daughter, you know, so, and my other brothers and sisters didn't realize what was, how horrible, how bad it was and what I was doing. So to save my two grandchildren, my daughter, my goodness, my daughter, falling apart, single moms and moms, you know, they're falling apart, and dads too, they're affected too. So
yeah, in that so one of the ladies at the very end of the film, they highlighted several families that had gone through false accusations of CPS workers. And so I found out about the movie through her, because she came on my show, and then she came on again, and she told me about this film, and she was in it. And so her husband was top security clearance in the military, kind of like your brother's.
How about that?
So could you imagine the devastation? Your brothers work so hard in their career to get to the very top, to get the highest security clearance, and a false accusation just strips it all away from them.
Yes, it's incredible. You just brought up a good point. One of the things that I really discovered, and of course, my own two brothers are military, and my older brother was military. My father, we were 20 years Army. My mother was Navy side. So I've got a lot of military background. But one of the things that I discovered when I was advocating and getting involved with some of the parents and families that were losing their children. So because of the deployments, this is my point, because of all the deployments that soldiers were taking, okay, they were deployed so many times with all these stupid wars, all this nonsense, these conflicts, and men and women too, okay, they were away from their families. That left their families, their children, their spouses vulnerable to the government's, you know, nasty nonsense about children. So if you, for example, if you were homeschooling, there were people that were targeted because they were homeschooling their children, taken.
That's right.
And then you see, I mean, that went on all the time. And there were a lot of military families, and they were getting support from the military because they didn't know what to do. Honestly, I don't think they knew what to do, but I believe that they were targeted by the government because they were vulnerable. Also, what happened was COVID, and you see all these, you know, new laws out in California. If you don't, promote that transgender, you know, business, that they take the kids away, you know? Yes. So the veterans, they were also, and people, other families were vulnerable to COVID. If they didn't get those shots, they could bring CPS into it. They would send the government into your home. And, you know, a lot of times, and you see this, many kids were taken away from their parents. So that's the vulnerabilities that families face in our own government, from our own government. So,
and it's hard for some people in middle America to wrap their head around it, because some of them are still in the matrix thinking what we all thought of our country. You know, it's a great place to, and it is, don't get me wrong,
absolutely.
But there's so much corruption that's entered into our nation that's changed things, changed the judicial system. There's money that's been involved with the child trafficking, whether it's like the film Jim Caviezel's in.
Yes.
Or if it's the film Saving Maya.
Yes.
So you see the money transfer, and money corrupts. Like, it's not money it's the love of money that corrupts, the Bible says. It's,
that's right.
You know, the love of money is what makes you corrupt. It's not money itself. Money is just a tool, you know. It's the love of money that corrupts people. And so God is doing something amazing. He took you out of the Catholic Church in the social charity part of it.
Indeed.
And he was showing you what's happening behind the scenes, and that so that you were more aware of it. And then he put you into another place, almost like when I think of the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph was in a really bad place because his brother sold him into slavery. But no matter what happened, he excelled in all of his areas until he was second under Pharaoh.
He did.
You know,
I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories as a little kid, because, you know, coming from a big family, you have, you know, all these brothers and sisters, and there's always these, you know, growing up, you have sibling rivalries and all these things you're growing up and going through. It's great. But I do really connect with that story, because that story to me was taking me out of a situation where I am a God fearing woman. And I have been since I was a little girl. The gift of faith has always been there, whether I knew it or not. But I just feel that when I get into a position, the Lord always shows me things that, and I didn't realize this until I got a little older, you know, in all the situations that I've been involved with, but he took me from this last time of seeing real corruption in the church, in the Catholic Church, in the system, all the systems, and then the government system, the judicial system that really did a bad thing to my brother and my whole family. So it's a really kind of like it was going on at the same time. Like, so it's funny how, you know, he said, because I used to say to the Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Why do I have to see this again? What is going on? Where's this going to end? You know, and then taking me into a position where I could actually, you know, work for him and do the things that he needs me to do and be with people that I can connect and get them going, because we need to show people, you know, the truth. And yep. And we're Christians are the target. Our values, our structure is up, is a war. It is a war against our faith and Christian faith, and which is a war against children.
That's period. Right. Yeah. Cause middle America is like, no, they wouldn't falsely accuse parents and take right. kids away. Yes, they would. And I bring up someone like your brother, who's very prominent, well-known. They did it to him. They did it to a president. Yes, they have falsely accused President Trump. It's been proven that the Steele dossier was fake and was bought for and paid for by Hillary Clinton. Oh,
absolutely.
That's been proven. Absolutely. It's also been proven that Donald Trump had the ability to take classified documents home because he declassified them as a president under the Presidential Act.
Yeah.
So he was allowed to take whatever he thought from under his administration. He was allowed to take it home. And then it was clear violation of different, like Biden. He wasn't a president when he took classified documents. Hillary Clinton was not even a vice president. She was a secretary of state when she had classified documentary on her home. Servers. I know. You know what I mean? So
and that just goes to show you they've been doing that forever. I mean, that's been going on. So so it's just to the surface now and they're right. caught, you know, and poor Donald Trump. It's so sad. It's so politically motivated. It just goes to show you how afraid they are of the American people and the yes. power that American people have. We do have power. We can take our country back. No question.
I agree. And so my point in that is here are two very well-known individuals, General Flynn, President Trump. They've done it to them.
Yes.
So it happens. Okay. Yes. So if people don't believe it doesn't happen in the middle, it happens.
Yes.
And so now you have these parents that are being falsely accused of hurting their child when they never did. And Senator Nancy Schaefer out of Georgia did a great report on the CPS child trafficking. And I encourage everyone to find that. And you could go to my website, theambermayshow.com, click the resource tab. And then if you scroll down towards the bottom, you're going to see her. There's a link and you can see a report. I highly recommend it because there's a lot of money involved with these people. And it's a revolving door. If they don't have kids coming into the system, they don't get paid. So this is just one way. Mary, I think that if we wanted to really put a dent into the child trafficking tomorrow, we could. Don't you think so? As the United States, if we really wanted to?
Yeah, we do. We could. I mean, you know, so all these agencies are being and NGOs are being exposed. We could make a dent because we're already making a dent. Look at Bud Light. I mean, look at Target. Look at all these people. Like, people have power. That's powerful. That's hitting them where their pockets, their money is. Okay. And that's what people need to do. First, we got to continue these boycotts, continue defunding, you know, and that's a big thing that our legislated, our states can do. People can have these, put pressure on our, you know, our political leaders in states and say, we want to defund. We're not going to fund these organizations anymore, and the government, we're not going to fund them anymore. So, you know, it's really important that we do local action, that we take local action, but they got to get the truth. And conspiracy is no more. It's no more.
To your point, I just saw an article that said Disney lost $1 billion on latest movie. Bravo to all the American people who are boycotting Disney for their grooming that they're doing.
That's right.
I mean, are literally grooming children. So let's talk about that, because America's Future is doing some seminars on grooming. So let's talk about that, because I did have a woman on my show once.
Yes.
Who was a daughter of a single mom. And the mom is doing the best she can, going to work, trying to provide for a kid and hoping that her daughter's safe going to and from school. Yes. So she had to walk to school, you know, to and from. Yeah. And she met this lady, started grooming her. This woman in the neighborhood just started grooming her, built trust with the daughter. That's right. And then one day she said, I could really use your help. I need to get some money. Would you please help me? And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
She was 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. She went, and this lady sold her to the sex slave industry. She was thrown into a car. The lady took off like a bat out of hell, and she was gone for years.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was a Jim Caviezel type of guy from the film where he's rescuing kids in the sex trade industry, or if it was a God moment, like the guy knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted to have sex with a minor, and yet God did something in that second. But she told this man, after years of being traded,
yeah,
I will do whatever you say.
Yeah.
Just afterwards, will you take me home?
Yeah.
And in that moment, he said, you don't have to do anything. I'll just take you home. Yeah. And they spent all night driving, and she was trying to remember where she last lived. Could you imagine your 12 or 13 year old couldn't even remember where they lived?
Yeah, I know.
Well, so she finally got home. But you know,
I know
the trauma she had to endure for all those years while she was not home.
So there's a bunch of things to this. So first of all, the bad guys, and then there's people that are, you know, desperate to make money because we've got an economic system that's, you know, people are struggling, right? There's all kinds of reasons for people to, you know, want to make money and whatever, you know, so they're, you know, trying to make money. There's these people that get caught up in the money thing of this. Okay. And they lose their consciousness. Mm-hmm. Their right and wrong is off. Okay. Their decision-making. Okay. They're either under evil, you know, or they're mentally disturbed, or they are just people that have a bad core, you know, and I truly, you know, pray for people that, you know, just can't get out of the dark sinning part of this. You know, there's people that are wrapped up so bad that they may know it's wrong, but they don't know how to get out of the sinning stop because they just throw the towel in and say, I'm going to hell anyway. So why don't I just, you know, go to, you know, just keep it going, you know, whatever, whatever that is that human nature does, you know, there's a bad element to that. There's a sinful element. So what we do is we try to, you know, inform the communities about that, you know, that being a reality in a neighborhood, no matter where you live. Honestly, the cities are bad, but the rural areas are where people go. The innocent, you know, neighborhoods, the less busy places are where they're kind of, you know, they're looking for the vulnerable children and families, for example.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Tagging cars, for example.
Oh, okay.
You know, so somebody's been watching a mother and a father with their children. And I, my intel tells me a lot about young single moms. I have a mom here in Florida who has expressed some stuff. She watches everything and she's in her neighborhood watching, helping each other, watch out for each other's children. Right. So vans are in the neighborhood, the tagging of cars with these zip ties. A father discovered all these zip ties were always on his car. He's at a gas station. He says to his kids, why are you kids putting these, you know, tags on my car? Stop doing that. Well, they were like, we're not doing it, Dad. We're not doing it. So by him making a phone call to a friend who maybe, you know, kind of knows about this stuff, or who's kind of helping in this situation, advocating for children and trafficking, he discovers that it's a marker of his car because he's vulnerable. His children are vulnerable. They're being watched, and they are going to go after those children. If they let their, you know, guard down, that's what they're doing. They're tagging cars. So then here's two other examples. And I brought this attention to the attorney generals in Florida, the state attorney general that I met with. Two cars, two different neighborhoods. One woman was with her two young daughters. One was a friend, I'm sorry. And there was a van, two guys sitting out in the van. One, the girls walked, you know, towards the van. They grab the girl. The other girl fights back to get the other girl out of the van. This goes on. The mother's paying attention. She comes over. And long story short, they rescue the two girls.
Praise the Lord. Oh, man, my heart's like going a million miles an hour right now.
They get in the van and take off, right? So she calls the police. She says to the police, this just happened, blah, blah, blah. Here's the license plate. I mean, these people were very, very vigilant on what happened. This mother, she was awesome. And the kids, they were awesome. But so what happened was, so long story short, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to discourage law enforcement. They're doing the best. They're very shorthanded. They have, you know,
extremely shorthanded.
I know they really are. Yeah. And the reporting, first reports, those are extremely important for the people that are working to help find children and statistics and data and all this stuff. Those reports, those first reports are extremely important to get the information we need to help save a child. So, but what happened was the mother made this report and she had to follow up. Well, they never went and followed that van.
Oh,
law enforcement did not follow through. So that means that person, those guys, and they described them too, off they go to another neighborhood through that again. And so those are things that happen in a neighborhood. Another mother, you know, told me a story of a small neighborhood, weird van had been parked in the neighborhood for weeks, and other neighbors kind of remembered it and so forth. Well, she was the one that actually took action because she discovered when she pulled out with her kids, that van followed her. Okay. So she became the target, the vulnerable target. And God bless her. She's a combat vet. She's a strong, you know, this is very, very powerful. She pulled over, she got the guy's information, and she, you know, she kind of faced him. What are you doing in my neighborhood? What are you doing? Why are you so she called the police, took another report, nothing was done. But that doesn't mean that the neighbors, the communities, can't get involved with helping the police take these reports. Maybe citizen groups help, community groups help those law enforcement take these forms, take these reports. You know, it's just important that we get that dirty, that down and dirty.
Yes.
Get to the guts, get to the real, you know, guts of helping in a community, helping each other protect all our children. All our children mean something to everybody. Because I'll tell you, I have felt the heartache, the pain of having your two children being taken in the middle of the night. That is a pain that can kill you.
Okay? And it did in that movie.
That's right.
Taking care of Maya. The mother couldn't take it anymore. She took her own life.
That's right. And so I have that experience because if I wasn't there to support my daughter, she would have taken her own life. She was done. She was done. She couldn't get off the ground the night it happened, and she couldn't function, and it got her into trouble. And it was me. One person needs to support these families, these kids. This happens to families. This happens to wealthy families, poor families, middle class, anybody. This happens. It's going to happen more and more now because we've got this open border and we're bringing all this nonsense. And it's a big child trafficking, exploitation is not only just, you know, taking a child, you know, selling them for sex. It is pornography. It is selling them for all kinds of things, even harvesting organs, you know.
That's right.
It's just we're using children. They are using children to pierce the heart of Jesus, honestly. Destroy this earth with this scourging of children being hurt. And they're using children. And adults better knock it off. I'm telling you. I mean, the day is going to come. Judgment day is going to come. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be on that side. I'll tell you.
Yeah. No kidding.
Now's the time. Now's the time to repent and try to help. If you've done something, you need to repent and you need to stop. And some people can't, though, Amber. Some people just, we're dealing with people that, you know, they pretty much have godless souls. You know what I mean? So we're dealing with a very bad criminal element. But
well, I spoke to a man who was raised in the Christian church and got caught up with magic. And as a young boy, found himself in a coven. I don't know if you've ever heard of Zachary King or not.
Yeah.
But he was telling my show, my audience, that the Satanic Church is a big part of child trafficking, child pornography, and abortion, because it's their sacrifice. It's their ritual that they do. And they want to kill the children, and they'll have women purposely be breeders just so they could keep aborting this from the same woman and keep doing their religious sacrifices. And then they'll sell the organs, and it's just disgusting. It's so gross. And
there's a
big evil out there.
Yeah. So in reality, you know, when we do these summits, when we're going to kick off this summit in Sarasota, there's, you know, people, experts that can speak on that, because one of the things that we have to understand is, you know, Christianity is under attack. There's a war against, first of all, as a Catholic, I will tell Catholics, they're coming for you first. Okay. Mm. Catholics will be down first. Then they will follow all other denominations of Christianity. Okay. I'm telling you, this is what they want. They are already doing that to Catholics. The father with all the kids who was arrested, and, you know, they raided his house in front of all his children because he was praying in front of the abortion clinics. The, you know, the rosary's under attack because it's a terrorist, you know, symbol. And so we're under attack. The Pope is absolutely, you know, do not, you know, get involved with the Pope. You know, Christ is number one. There's a globalist. There's all kinds of, you know, things I can speak on, but I'm going to keep this simple. What we need to do is understand that this country is founded on Christianity, and that's where we have to fight for our faith, okay? And the family and freedom. So, you know, this is all a part of the satanic religion. And I think it was Chelsea Clinton. I think it was 2017 or 18, was after President Trump was elected. He started going hardcore with the child trafficking.
Yes, he did.
Yes. So he, you know, he did great work. Really, really. No other president has ever done that.
None.
And so I think it was 17. It could have been 18 or 19. I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But I remember Chelsea Clinton is the one that said she's declaring satanic religion as a religion. A worship is a religion. So, and by the way, they're grooming your children for satanic religion. Okay. Faith. Okay. It's not a faith. It's a disaster. It's an evil, but that's
they're
happening.
They're calling it a faith. Right.
Yes. They're making it, declaring it a real religion. Okay.
Right.
So this is growing because children are vulnerable. They're, you know, they don't have direction. They have no place to go. Families are broken. Whatever it is, there is more of the children signing up for this stuff. They're influenced by this, by music, by acting, by the Hollywood, every kind of avenue. They're being thrown into these satanic symbols. And, you know, it's a great thing. You know, it's just looked at like, you know, it's just a great thing to be involved with, you know? And so we have a building of a satanic religion, which New Mexico's blatant. They have a, what they call a, you know, a worship, a place of worship. So, you know, more and more you'll
see. In Scottsdale, Arizona, they have a satanic church too.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be more and more.
They have SatanCon every year.
Yes. There you go.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And the Clintons, I know Hillary and her daughter are witches. Like, they're part of the satanic.
Oh yeah. Well, we have, there's more and more of the witches that we see. And that's a prophetic. I mean, you don't have to believe me, but, you know, there are great prophets that have talked about that.
There was one prophet, and he said, there will not be a witch in the White House. And I'm just wondering if he was talking about Hillary Clinton when she was running for office of president. And this prophet said, there is not going to be a witch in the White House. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting prophecy.
Well, you know, I always, you know, prophets are, you know, some I tend to just ask, I always ask the Lord about, you know, when I talk about that, because, you know, I just be careful. We're in a time period of false prophets too.
Oh, of course.
That's biblical. You know, that's in the Revelation.
Like you, Mary. I'm like that too, because I worked in radio prior to this. And so one side was like more Christian, one side was more just regular talk. Yeah. So we had so many prophets come through that I just knew were false prophets.
Yes.
But I had no way of really not having them on, because I couldn't necessarily prove that they were false. I just knew that they were. I just, the way they carried themselves, the way they acted, I just knew.
Well, I can tell you firsthand that when I was working in the Catholic Church, you know, there's a big hypocrisy there. I mean, so what I learned was that, you know, if the Catholic Church can do this to people, can be involved in the pedophile, you know, all the... And that you see altars that are being used, you know, for satanic. There's symbolism going on in the Catholic Church, and the altars, they're being desecrated.
I didn't know that.
There's a Catholic priest out in California that was dressing up in the red, white, the rainbow colors and all that. And the homosexuality is
it's just
incredible. But I can see, you know, so being in that and what I witnessed, it's if you can just believe that it's infiltrated a church, like the largest universal church in the world.
Right.
You've got to believe that prophetic people, that, you know, that it's happening outside into another system of religious faith leaders. It's happening. If it happens in the Catholic Church, which is the biggest one, it's happening outside in all these other denominations, and they're not standing up. They're quiet. All you got to do is look at the silence from them. Just look at the silence. I mean, this Bishop Strickland, is the Vatican are coming down on him. They've just visited him today, because he's the only Catholic bishop that went out to protest, stand with all the protesters of the Dodgers. He's the only one Catholic bishop that has stood up right there, put himself right in the gap to help, you know, protest that and to, you know, say, we're not going to take this anymore. This is our faith. This is our Catholic faith. We're not going to be treated like this. They're not going to desecrate, you know, the nuns that, my goodness, they're already the low on the totem pole of the Catholic Church. Many, many of those orders, they just sacrifice their lives for Jesus. I mean, they get nothing. They don't sometimes get support from the leaders of the clergy of the Catholic Church. So, and they're doing great work. They're saving children. You know, there's just bad ones and good ones. That's all. But if it happens,
it's true.
It happens in other areas. So
Zachary King said that on the show. He said, if you are on fire and you are really doing something for God, just know Satan's coming for your church. Church he grew up in had 11 members of the Satanic Coven as deacons in his Baptist church.
Yeah.
11. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
So they were going after his church. He's like, if you know, Satan doesn't see you as a threat to the church, they're going to leave you alone. So what you're saying is correct. And this is from a man who was brought up in a Christian home, found himself in the Satanic Church. He knows the ins and outs of how the Satanic Church operates. And now he's a Catholic.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you listen to a person like Lindsay Piper Loomer, who wrote
the book, her.
Silence No More. I mean, she has an incredible story. And she's, you know, going to tell that story to the world, like General Flynn has encouraged her. I encourage her to just tell it, you know, and all of us tell our stories when we have these experiences. It's very important to help each other get through what we're getting through now. And we will win this. There's no losing this battle. God has a plan. He will strike when the time is right. And he listens to us. He listens to our cries. He knows people that are working to be, you know, to do his will. Okay. He does. He knows everybody's heart. That's the funny thing I always say to my kids. God knows everything you're doing. So you're not going to get away with it. Even in your conscience, even, you know, no, you think nobody knows, but God knows.
Mm-hmm. God knows.
And that's why we're doing this work. You know,
the conferences or the classes that are coming up, are they going to be streamed for those who cannot attend?
Well, so this is our first one. Okay. This is our first summit, and America's Future needed to kick this off and get this together. So you're going to be introduced to my panel from the panel that was introduced on December 6th when we kicked it off in Mar-a-Lago. This has taken some time to get this thing correct. And the way I want to do it is get my whole panel, get all my expertise. We have really formed a good set of training for people in the community. And we'll bring this to, you know, we've got two or three other states that want us to come. And I'm not, you know, we're building curriculum. We're going to talk about online. We're also, we have a guy like Mike Smith who did Out of Shadow.
Yes.
His movie Into the Light is coming very soon. It's going to blow people away. He's a guy that, you know, we will start to get more documentary, more visual, because he's just amazing. And so this kicks off first. I wanted to get this summit underway where it's a discussion panel. The community is involved. We're going to talk about all these people have such expertise on, mm-hmm. on what the neighbors need to know, what our community needs to know. I'm inviting all the faith leaders. So that's very important that they show up, and we'll see. Cause I've been going around getting people to, you know, just put their, if you don't like my brother, if you don't like somebody, just put that aside. It's not political.
Yes.
I'm not political at all. I want this country to succeed.
Yes.
And when it comes to America's Future, General Flynn that's his platform too. So no matter what, put your bias, your prejudice aside and just listen, come in and be accepted because we love you. And that's what we want the communities to do. So then we start, this summit is a discussion panel. Laura Logan's going to lead this. She's going to MC this. People, I want them to walk away with a lot of, you know, good feeling, good training, good, to protect and defend your children. And then we kick off a series of training. The next day is for professionals and law enforcement and first responders, realtors, adjusters in the real estate, you know, knowing what to look for in, you know, housing communities, because they're using houses to, you know, you don't think that that's going on, but that is going on, you know, so it's very amazing. And then, so the kicking off that's going to be the 18th. I want to read this, the 18th of August, the next one is October 5th. And that's for parents and caring adult program. This is going to talk about all kinds of things, groomers, grooming, personal behaviors, suspecting online. We got online folks that are good because that's another issue.
Mm-hmm.
Children are online. And then we mm-hmm. have the pitfalls of pornography program, which is going to be a very, very, very good training for, you know, men. We want to stop the buyers. Okay, we want to inform people about the beliefs of buyers and what it's doing and how it's affecting the child trafficking. And by the way, child pornography is beyond now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a whole other element. And this will mm-hmm. this will target that. And then finally, what we have is this ARC training. I went through this. I'm certified advocate. I want advocates in neighborhoods. They'll certify you. Boz and Tina, they do it, run a 6-day program. That's phenomenal. You'll get the whole gist of what you need to do in your community. Okay. And then we have a legal piece where we're going to specifically show the public what's going on in Florida. So if we go to another state, we'll be doing the same thing in that state, but it will target what's going on in your state and what you can and can't do as far as policy, legal action kinds of things that people need to be, you know, embrace themselves with knowledge of what their rights are.
Yes.
And to be an advocate, if we, you know, it in a neighborhood community, you know, group, somebody always does, you know, something better than the other person.
Correct.
So, you know, it's important to kind of, you know, be the mustard seeds and let God show you what you're better at. There's also another fellow that we're going to be introducing, the Skull Games, to the community. And that is a great opportunity for people to, I want to encourage the veteran community to help, because they're always saying to me, what can I do? What can I do? The vets and General Flynn, of course. And so we have a program for them to to kind of drop themselves into too. So
the veteran program is called the Skulls Game.
Yeah, we're partnering up with a fellow who's got done. He's a retired military. These guys are phenomenal. I'm telling you, they're using their skills to help people understand how they can help. And so there's a lot of online work with that one.
Wow.
And there's a little training on that one. And so I'm always encouraging the states and the people in the states that are doing the good work. I'm going to use those. I'm going to find those people so we can get that information out to the communities in Florida, for example. So Florida is our focus right now. We're starting to focus on two other states which are wanting us to come. So
I hope you'll focus on Arizona, seeing that we're a border state. A lot of trafficking comes through Arizona because we are a border state.
Yes.
I know some of the northern borders, people do not think about Canada, but there's a lot of trafficking through the northern borders as well.
That's right. Well, we're going up to Michigan. I've already talked to those folks. I've actually talked to them a few months ago. I've gotten that one going. Michigan's going to be a big state because that's a border state. I mean, they don't even want you to know about the Canadian border. They don't even want you to know about that stuff.
And they never say one word about the Canadian border.
And I also have some great connections with the training that I went through, the ARC training that I went through. I met Canadians are in the fight too, believe me. And also I have some great people in Mexico there in the fight too. There, listen, if you think that there are people in Mexico, because they know the corruption in their own government, but that aren't looking for their children. I mean, you put yourselves in as Americans. We know when a child is missing the pain. Well, there's people in other countries that are feeling the same pain. They want to find those children. They're looking for their children. So if we're letting children in who have been stolen or taken, or, you know, they're up against a lot of things. So, I mean, you know.
And it's hard for those parents because I know I've talked to Border Patrol and the kids that come here are, some of them are so young and they don't speak any English. Mm-hmm. And if they're trying to get information from to where their parents are at or the contact info, they don't have it. And I'm just trying to think if I had a young child taken and gone to a foreign country and they can't speak to law enforcement. And because there's that barrier, or they just don't know how to tell the cop where they're from. I taught my children from preschool in a form of Mary Had a Little Lamb, your address, your phone number.
Yes.
That way I said, what if mommy, gets really sick and I can't get to the phone, I need your help. Then you're going to call 911, you can help mommy, and you're going to tell them where you live. And we would sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, but we would use our address.
Yes.
And that's how you can teach your kids, because you just never know the situation. And oftentimes parents don't really think about it. Like, I should teach my toddler their address. Yeah, you should.
Today. Because they want those kids. There's age groups that, this system, this criminal, element uses at different age groups. And so, the other thing is I have a great friend who's a medical doctor, who's a wonderful woman. She has treated sex trafficked children as they come out, and their knowledge is very important. And that piece will start to come into this America's Futures project, because I need people to understand what it does physically to a child, that people need to, do you remember, and I always say this, do you remember the pro-life movement? And my mother was a big part of it, but I remember when they started to show the pictures of the baby pieces. Mm-hmm. You remember that? They started to have to say, look, you know what? To get people to understand the horrors of abortion, we need to show them pictures. We need to do that. And that changed the game. That was a game changer for the pro-life movement when they started to put those pictures up and people started to see what happens to the baby, little baby's bodies, okay? Mm-hmm. And the different kind of ways they do it. So we need to be able to do that. And that's something that's coming. That's something that I want to do, because we need to show people that they need to see it. They do. They don't believe it. They need to see it. I'm sorry. It's ugly. It's all that. But you know what? Pray to God. He'll take that all away from you, but know it's reality. It is reality. We're in a
and this is where the Sound of Freedom movie really comes into play, because now you're going to have a visual representation of what this federal agent went through to rescue kids he didn't even know.
That's right.
I remember seeing the trailer, and one of the lines said, well, how far would you go, or something to the effect of, how far would you go if it was your kid?
Well,
if it was any of our kids, wouldn't we want people to go to the ends of the earth to try and find our children?
Well, that's what I felt when my two grandchildren were taken, and my daughter was going through a very, very, serious domestic violence relationship with the father. And then he became a drug informant. And then so they got on his side, and he wanted those kids away from her. And that's what they did. And they took them. And so I felt that pain, you know, and I had enough to the love of my daughter and the love of grandchildren. There's two kinds of loves, and they're very powerful. So the mother's, the love of a child is one thing, but there's also grandchildren that you have to protect. So I was put in both positions. And so I had to keep my daughter's wits about her so she wouldn't lose it, because those two little babies were looking for her love. And they know, children know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Children know that they know who loves them. Children know who, I am a witness to that. I now know that. They know. And they only need a little glimmer of that, okay? Because they'll start looking for your love to be there constantly, even though they were taken away from us for a long time. Those children, you need to stay in touch and get any way you can to be, even a phone call to tell them, I love you, I'm here, I'm never leaving you, I'm here. We will find a way to get to each other. You see, those things... You know, people don't have that kind of support. They don't. There's people that, and then those children get caught up into a piece of the violence, and they can give up. Children can be worn down, in other words. So, you know, there's healing that needs to be done too. I mean, that's another whole story when we start talking about what's going to happen to our society if we have children being, you know, pedophiles are normal. This stuff we can't do that to our society. We can't have, you know, a society of perversion, like these trans, like this whole, you know, pride stuff that's not going to happen. That's not normal. The children they're confusing children on whether they're a boy or a girl. I mean, are you kidding me? That they don't, children don't need that. I mean, that's just.
You are a mom. I'm a mom. We know from the get-go, little babies and toddlers know exactly what a girl is, what a boy is, what a girl does, what a boy does. We don't sit there and say like, okay, little boy, this is how little boys, they've just observed and they've learned. And they're very attuned to what a little boy plays with, what a little girl plays with.
There's no doubt. And that's God. God gave us a man and a woman. I mean, there's no God. Yeah. And that's the other problem. It's godless. This stuff is all godless. There's no God. And they've taken God right out of the picture. They're playing God, you know? And so it's just a part of their plan to destroy this country and destroy, you know, society and bring their own agendas in. And to be honest with you, it's real mental illness.
It is.
It's mental illness. You know, and a lot of these people, and I know him, I have a great friend who had a boyfriend, and I mean, he ended up committing suicide, but I'm telling you, like, a lot of these people have problems from when they were younger.
Yes.
And either they were hurt from their father, or hurt by their mother physically, mentally. I mean, mental abuse is 10 times worse. I'd rather have somebody punch me than constantly telling me I'm terrible, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm this and that. You know, that wears on a young child, mm-hmm. and to the point where it's actually more damaging than the physical part. You know, I mean, it is bad, but the mental, that's why we see the mental, you know, grooming is so important to them. And then you also see the mind control over the Hollywood stuff that has been going on for years and years, all the, you know, people are mind controlled, and Hollywood and Disney and all these things. That's real. I mean, that's what's been happening, you know,
mm-hmm.
before eyes, we don't even know it. Look at what's coming out now, you know? So,
you know, God has brought people into my life through these shows that have gone through some tough times, but are survivors and overcame. And I think that's important because the Bible never promises us that if we follow Jesus, that our lives are going to be just wonderful and great and we'll never experience pain. Right. God himself came down from heaven and experienced tremendous pain, betrayal. He was beat where he wasn't even recognized. He was an innocent man put to death. God himself did not avoid any pain on this earth. So we're definitely not going to avoid pain on this earth. So I want to speak to your faith level, because you have been through a lot with your daughter, with your grandkids, with your brother, seeing things in the church that you love, that you think you're going to help. What made you not turn away from God?
Well, I remembered my mother, and this comes back to your upbringing, right? And my parents lost their first child to a very serious car accident with eight kids to still raise. I mean, they lost their ninth, their oldest ninth. I remember my mother always saying, you can always fall back on your faith in all your trouble and all your tragedy. And I witnessed my mother and father. My mother became stronger, even though she lost a lot. She lost, it was hard, but she always, I watched my mother, you know, pray. And she turned to prayer. And so I just, you know, my experience, my upbringing was that I was always going to fall back in faith. And I'm not saying that the things that I went through were, and I wasn't, you know, I'm not perfect. I did things too, you know, that I should, you know, repent and you ask for forgiveness and all those kinds of things. I never hurt anybody, but I did, you know, was around crowds where there was drinking and, you know, I grew up in the 80s. So, you know, the drugs and the cocaine and the partying and all that stuff, that was my first husband's brother was heavily involved in drug trafficking. And I found myself in situations that people wouldn't believe me. And my own brothers and sisters don't believe me. You know, I was in Joe Banana, one of the worst mob guys. I was in his living room, and I helped him make ice cream when I was a young mother. So God has brought me into dangerous positions, dangerous situations. I've come out of it. I have always fallen back on prayer. I've always asked the Lord to help me get through this, you know, and so that's all I can say is that, you know, you go find how you want to worship Jesus. Go find him. He's there waiting for you. We have a free will. He will not interfere in our free will. That's guaranteed fact. And he has told that in the Bible, that free will is yours. I gave it to you. He will not interfere. But he has forgiveness, and he loves us, and he wants us to follow us, find him. He's looking for us. And so there's too much witness of how lives have been changed by Jesus, right? He came here not to, you know, sit with the rich and all that. He came here to fight for us, to teach us how to fight, because this is not a perfect world. The earth is, you know, heaven, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is coming to the earth. So it's pressing down right now. This is how I always talk about this. The kingdom of heaven is getting closer and closer to the earth. So, you know, you got to go find a relationship with Jesus. You have to go get to know him. You're going to get to those pearly gates, and he's going to say, I don't know you. And then what? So, you know, I'm just here to save as many souls as I can and do my part. But that's what I did. I always turned to faith, even if it was, why are you doing this? Getting mad at him or whatever it is, you know, seek his face, in bad times, seek his face. That's what I did. I seeked his face.
And you're an example. You're an example. Your brother's an example. I feel like I'm an example. Not everyone knows my story, but I had miscarriages after miscarriages after miscarriages. And when my third one ruptured my fallopian tube and I didn't think I was going to ever have kids, I went to a dark place in my life. And eventually I literally had a come to Jesus moment. I mean, he spoke to me in such a profound way and it changed my life.
Yeah.
And God can do that in the worst situations for you. Oh. And so when you have no way of protecting your kids, the one thing you can do is call upon God and ask him to send down his angels to surround your children. Yeah. Ask him, you know, the only thing you can do at that point, I think, is turn to God. I don't know how else to survive this life, even in the worst of your times. I think God's the only way you can survive in the worst of it.
And sadly, you know, there are a lot of people that don't believe there is salvation and that we are going to a better place with him. And, you know, so faith, you know, is a mature journey. You have to mature in your faith. It takes a lifetime. Some people don't find it. For example, my first husband, he died at 40. He was a hellion. He was a Marine and he was a hellion. He was quite a guy, and died, got sick at 36 with a terrible cancer. 4 years the Lord gave him, but at the end of his time, he turned to God and he said to me, "You know, Mary, I always respected you for your faith." And I was like, I didn't know that he was even paying any attention to my prayer life or what I, you know, how I felt about my God, you know, God. And I just never realized that until he was dying on his, you know, he became faithful. He rectified his life. He went to confession. He took communion, you know, so I was able to show my children that this guy who left us, and he did, and treated your mother really bad at times, this guy turned his life around. And now, so they saw that example. So that passed it on to his children. And he told a lot of lies about me. And they realized that, you know, it wasn't true about their mother. You know what I mean? So this is what happened. But this is an alcoholic situation. There's, you know what I'm saying? It's all this part of life. But I was shocked when he said that to me. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize you were paying attention to my prayer life. But it takes every day is, you know, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And the way you talk to God is your way. And it's the way you, and whatever it is, all I can say is, I feel bad for people that don't have.
I do too.
You know, have a faith in their life. I don't know how they get through it. And I just don't. But he's waiting there for you. You want it. He's there. That's all I can say to people. I have plenty of people that are atheists and just don't believe and question. I mean, that's good to be questioning too, for goodness sakes. You know, it's a good thing to question. The thing about people is, don't just dismiss him, and please don't turn to the dark side, because, you know, I mean, he'll even forgive that. I mean, he's forgiven murderers. Paul, you know, Paul persecuted Christians. He killed and mutilated many, many Christians. And look what he did with Paul. So, you know, the worst things can be forgiven. And we have to pray for our enemy too, by the way, Amber. As hard as it is to see some of the bad stuff that's going on today, even the people that are hurting children, we have to pray for them. We have to pray for the bad people, the people that are doing bad things, because we have to pray for them. We just have to. We got to let it go. We got to give it up to God, but we got to pray for them. Our enemies need prayers. They do.
So if you go to americafutures.net, you're going to find information on how you can get involved in the summit. I highly encourage you to do it. I saw the lineup of speakers. It's phenomenal. It's powerful. So make sure you get over there, americasfutures.net. Yeah. Keep your pulse on that website. You can go join them on their social media platforms. I highly encourage you, because when they're coming to a town near you, you're going to want to get involved in those classes, because what I'm hearing you say, Mary, is situational awareness will help mitigate a lot of dangers. Yes. So the people that are noticing things or something's just not right, they're able to avoid some of that dangers, those pitfalls, and help protect neighbors around them. Yes, and so you're going to get those skills to be situationally aware of what is around you. And then what is the action step after that?
That's right.
So americasfutures.net. Mary, thank you so much for coming on my program today. I really appreciate you.
too, Amber. You're wonderful. You're a wonderful person. Thank you so much. I really mean that. Thank you so much. Been wonderful.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.